Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am an editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as always, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
The pit is completely enclosed, and it's full of leathery objects like eggs or something.
Wow, I might even know where that came from.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Hey.
I haven't seen it all, but I've seen parts of it.
Yeah, Santa Claus.
That pretty much
Santa
is
Claus
it.
The movie, right? That is not where that's from.
No.
It has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about today either.
Nope.
We have done a podcast. Actually, I think we've done a couple, really, either directly related to or tangentially related to the Apple iPad.
Yeah, we actually talked about it, too, when we were still doing Tech Stuff Live, the video show. We talked about it because we were doing news topics, and it was trending right about the time we were finishing up that show.
Yeah, that was back when it was just a rumored device. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it turned out the rumors were, in fact, true, and the iPad hit the market. And you may recall, and we'll talk about this again at the end of the year, that at the beginning of last year, I predicted that the iPad would come out, which was correct, but that it would totally flop, and that was about as wrong as you can get.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I read just today, the day we are recording this, that the rate of adoption, according to NPR, the rate of adoption for iPad users is faster than that of DVD. And of course, I don't know why. I guess DVD was one of the fastest adoption rates for new technologies. But yeah, it seems like they always use DVDs as a benchmark. But I think 4.5 million iPads, they said, in a quarter, which is pretty significant.
Well, you think about DVD. D's, when the players first hit the market, they were incredibly expensive.
Yeah, they were. Well, it's like a lot of the different technologies, too. CDs were the same way.
Right. But the point being that the iPad can do more than a DVD player could at the time when DVDs first came out.
That's true.
And the iPad is less expensive than the initial DVD players when they hit the market.
And far more portable than those initial DVD players as well.
But this is not an ad for Apple iPad because they don't need it.
Well, that's the thing. Once you come out with a successful technology, other people will seize the opportunity to come up with a competitor and try their hand at the market.
And we've actually seen a few of these competitors hit the market. Some of them tried to hit the market before the iPad came out. Mm-hmm. And you don't hear about them very much because they just didn't really make a big splash in the consumer marketplace. So like the Arcos tablets, for example, those those are tablets that run on either Android, Linux, or Windows. Mm-hmm. They have models that run on each of those operating systems, mostly Android recently, because that seems to be the new approach to tablets. Because the tablet form factor is not new.
No, not in the least.
It's been around for a decade or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only place that I've really encountered the traditional tablets, and when I say tablets, they don't look, if you haven't seen these, they don't look like the new crop of tablets. These are almost full-size PCs. Most of the ones I've seen are essentially a notebook form factor with a screen that will flip over and allow you to fold it back on top of the computer so that it functions as a tablet, but it's the size. It's got, you know, I guess probably around 15-inch, well, maybe not 15, 12, 13-inch screen. It's big compared to these newer tablets.
And there's still a few of those out there.
Yeah. They're used a lot in medical professions.
We saw, like, the, was it Dell that had, the Duo.
Yes.
The Duo that's coming out, which is, it looks like a netbook computer or a notebook computer. The screen swivels within the frame, and then you can fold the frame down so that the screen is face up and it becomes a tablet. Although, as, you know, the big problem there is that you've just doubled the thickness of the screen. Mm-hmm. It's not as lightweight or portable as other tablet form factors. And then you have like the Lenovo U1 IdeaPad, which may or may not ever see the light of day. It was something that blew me away at CES in 2010. Mm-hmm. And that one, again, looked like a notebook computer, but you could detach the screen and the screen would become a new tablet computer. Back at CES, when they showed it off, the entire device, when it was together, the keyboard and the screen, ran on Windows 7. When you detached the screen, it switched to a Linux operating system, and then when you would reattach it, it would go back to Windows. Mm-hmm. It would supposedly sync whatever application you were in, so that, let's say you're watching a movie, well, you might be watching the movie in one movie player in Linux. When you plug it back in, it would switch to the Windows-based movie player and pick up at the same place where you left off in the film.
That's impressive.
Supposedly. I did not see it work when I was at CES.
Right.
But that was the goal.
It's a neat idea.
I think they were still working on the synchronization. And back over the summer of 2010, the word got out that Lenovo was abandoning at least part of that strategy. There's now rumor that it'll come out. The Lenovo U1 will eventually come out. It was supposed to come out in the summer, and it did not. There's now a rumor that it may come out with an Android operating system for the tablet part. Mm-hmm. We'll have to wait and see. That would be very interesting to me if that did, because it answers a lot of the problems I have with the tablet form factor.
Yep.
So the question is, now that the Apple iPad is out, mm-hmm. and it's so successful, do any other tablets have even a shot of the same sort of success or even moderate success within the consumer marketplace? Or is the iPad a unique device?
A few weeks ago, I don't know exactly when it's running compared to this one. So I should say earlier, we discussed what early adopters are. And for the most part, I would say that a lot of the people who have bought iPads at this point are early adopters or radio stations using them for promotional purposes.
Yeah, you see
there that. There's a radio station in the same building we're in, and I see people on the elevator with an iPad in its box going downstairs from the radio station, and you know, they'll ask me how to get back to the interstate, so I'm going, okay, so you just picked up your prize. I got it.
There's almost a meme about
it's kind of funny.
About iPads being prizes.
I've seen it a lot.
Yeah.
The iPad actually came out in April of this year, hit store shelves, and it's starting to make its way to regular retail stores. Target just announced that it would be carrying it. Just saw one, as a matter of fact, this past weekend. The thing is, I think I'm not sure that anyone else was anticipating the iPad to be as much of a success as it is, because I think that's part of why some of them have been so slow to get a device out the door. But in their rush to announce new products, I think they may have been I think now at this point, the people who are developing tablets are on the right track, because some of them rushed too fast and came up with sort of half-baked attempts. And some of the newer models that look like they'll be out in the coming months, I think may have a shot at least taking some of the potential market share from the Apple iPad.
So let's talk a little bit about some of those. The one I wanted to start with is the one I think is potentially the strongest.
Okay.
Which, maybe you agree or disagree, but the Samsung Galaxy Tab.
As of the time we're recording this, I would certainly say it probably has the strongest chance.
Yeah. There's one other that we'll get to that I think has a pretty good chance as well, but it's hard to say because we know so little about it at the moment. Mm-hmm. But the Galaxy Tab is an interesting tablet device. Now, it's got a 7-inch screen, so it's smaller than the iPad. The iPad screen is, I think, 9.7 inches.
Right.
So the Samsung Galaxy Tab is a little smaller than the iPad, and it's running the Android operating system 2.2, which is mm-hmm. Froyo, for those of you keeping score. That's the most recent Android build as of the recording of this podcast.
Right.
Now it's going to in Europe it's got phone capabilities. We learned that when it comes to the United States, those phone capabilities will be stripped out. It will not run. You will not be able to make phone calls on a cellular system using the Galaxy Tab. Now, you will be able to use something like Skype. Mm-hmm. So you can still make calls over the device. It's just it's not going to have its own dedicated phone number
right.
mm-hmm. in the U.S. In Europe, it's a different story. And, you know, it's going to have all these other elements like a 16. It comes in, I think, either a 16 gigabyte or a 32 gigabyte version. And you can also get a micro SD card to give you up to 32 gigabytes extra storage. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a big difference between the iPad and the Galaxy Tab. The iPad comes in very specific models. And you can't upgrade the memory on an individual model. If you got the, what are they? Are they at 16 and 32 and
64.
Mm-hmm. So if you got a 16 gigabyte model of the iPad and you wanted to increase the memory to 32 gigabytes, the only option you have is to go out and buy a 32 gigabyte iPad.
Yep.
You can't upgrade that memory. This is built, the Galaxy Tab is built so that you can upgrade the memory yourself. It also will run Flash because Android 2.2 does. So that sets it apart from the iPad. And it has cameras built into it, which the iPad does not. Although we expect the next iPad probably will have. It would shock me if the next model of the iPad does not have cameras.
Yeah. And I would like to point out, too, that for those of you who are going to write in and tell us that about the newer developments with Apple related to Flash, yes, we are aware. For those of you who are not familiar with this Apple announced a few weeks ago that they would permit people who are using Flash to develop applications for the iOS, which runs the iPod Touch, the iPhone, and the iPad. They can go ahead and do that. They weren't allowed to do that. But it is not the same as opening Safari and running, going to a website that uses a lot of Flash and watching a Flash video or something on it. It's a little different.
Right. Like, so if you want to
make it a concession.
The thing I always run into back when I still had my smartphone, my mm-hmm. smartphone died. So we can have a moment of silence. Anyway, my smartphone ran Android 1.6, which mm-hmm. was not capable of running Flash. So if I went to any restaurant website where the menu was programmed in Flash, I could not see the menu. It was very irritating. Mm-hmm. Because that was one of the really useful things of a smartphone. You're out, you want to check and see what this restaurant's menu's like. You don't want to have to actually go to the restaurant to find out, and then you discover that they've put their menu in Flash and you can't view it. Very irritating. Anyway, Samsung Galaxy Tab, not a problem. You would be able to see that sort of stuff. And in the U.S., we don't know how expensive it's going to be yet as of the recording of this podcast. It'll probably be that information will probably be available by the time this publishes. But in the U.K., it was just announced that it will retail for £599, almost £600.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
heavy. That's expensive.
Expensive, right? So, and the article I read pointed out that is £70 more than the highest the most advanced iPad that's on the market in the UK. Mm-hmm. So it costs more than the iPad. Now, granted, this is an unsubsidized price, as far as I can tell. It's not linked to any particular carrier. So it may be that there are subsidized versions of the Galaxy Tab. Like if you went to the, was it Orange? Is that one of the ones in the UK?
That is one of the ones
okay,
in the
good.
UK.
And say you go to Orange and they're carrying the Samsung Galaxy Tab and you got it through them, you might be able to find a subsidized price through them. I don't know because I don't live in the UK. So all you Brits can write to me and tell me whether I'm right or wrong. And maybe I'll pay attention. And then, so anyway, the Galaxy Tab, I think, has the potential to really challenge the iPad. It's the Android operating system is definitely a different system than the iOS. I usually refer to it as you get out of it what you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like iOS works. Apple has such a firm grasp on all the apps that can go into it and the standards they have to meet in order to become an app for the iOS that the benefit for the consumer is that whenever you get an app, it's going to do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Or at least there's a very good chance for it because Apple is very strict about that. Android, it's more of a coin flip type of situation. Sometimes things aren't going to work the way you thought they would because Android wants a more open environment. Well, that means you have more flexibility and more choice, but you don't necessarily, the things you choose may not necessarily work the best way.
Right. As with many things, there is an upside and a downside to both models.
Exactly. So I think the Galaxy Tab will appeal to people who are a little more do-it-yourselfers than the iPad does necessarily. Plus, the camera, I think, makes a big difference. Until the iPad comes out with a camera model, that's going to – I mean, you think about things like video conferencing, like the FaceTime technology that Apple has designed. That's ideal for something like the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be easier to see someone on that screen than an iPhone or iPod touch screen.
A lot of the things that you mentioned about the Samsung Galaxy Tab are common to the Android tablets that I've read about devices, even what I consider regional, at least at this point, devices like expansion ports, in some cases USB ports. These are things that some of the people have complained about not being on the iPad.
Or even HDMI out.
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of stuff where you have standard ports. Like Apple hates standard ports.
Yeah.
Apple likes proprietary ports where you have to have connectors in order to use that. Not on every product.
No.
But on many products, you have to have a special pin connector and then an adapter or a dock of some sort in order to be able to attach it to other technology.
I see what you're saying. I was thinking specifically too of some of the tablets that were at least not for a while going to see, like the Wii Tab in Germany, originally called the Wii Pad. Get it? iPad, Wii Pad, developed by a company called Mego, and then
I used to have to buy Wii Pads for my puppies.
The Olive Pad in India. These are all devices that are coming out around the world that are using Android's operating system.
There's also the Dell Streak, which is weird. Dell Streak kind of walks the line between tablet and smartphone.
Now I am totally singing The Man in Black in my head.
All right.
Because it walks the line.
It does walk the line. But the Dell Streak has a 5-inch screen, which is, you know, That's a little too big for it to be like a smartphone, but it's a little too small for most tablets.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird size. It's interesting that they went with that. It also runs Android 1.6.
Yeah, that was one of the things that Jason Heiner was complaining about in his review in August of 2010 back on ZDNet. He was basically saying it's a little large for a smartphone and a little small for a tablet. Plus, it's running an antiquated version of Android,
yeah.
However, from what I understand, Dell intends to upgrade that to Froyo by the end of 2010.
Yes. And it has a gigahertz Snapdragon processor, so it's got a lot of pep to it, but same sort of thing as a lot of smartphones have right now. And it's got a rear-facing and front-facing camera. It can hold up to 2 gigabytes of memory in its SD card. That's just memory, not storage space. 512 megabytes ROM, 512 megabytes RAM, and then 2 gigabytes of micro SD memory. Mm-hmm. It's got a micro SD card slot that can allow you to store up to 16 gigabytes of, or actually, I'm sorry, 16 gigabytes are included with the Dell Streak. I don't know how much it's capable of holding. Mm-hmm. And I know it retails for like $550, which is pretty expensive when you compare it to, again, the iPad.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When you're looking at the size of it.
There are some other things, too. Apparently, the Wi-Fi built into the Dell Streak is 802.11b and g.
Interesting. Not N.
And it doesn't support Flash in the browser. At least this is according to chart.
It's Android 1.6. It won't.
Yeah. Yeah. So, this is according to J.S. Shindy's article in PC World India as of October 5th. The Dell Streak does have one feature that I think is pretty useful.
What's that?
And it's not even a software feature. It's a hardware thing.
What is it?
It's got Gorilla Glass.
Yes.
Which I think is really awesome. Gorilla Glass is a very, strong, impact resistant from what I understand, form of glass, which is good if you're going to carry around a, small device that is easily dropped, as many of us have with some of these things.
The Samsung Galaxy Tab may end up having Gorilla Glass as well. Yeah. I read a report on that. Okay. And Dell also plans on coming out with a 7-inch tablet later in 2010, mm-hmm. and then possibly in 2011 come out with a 10-inch tablet. So it looks like Dell's going to try and pepper this market with devices going all the way down to 3 inches, which presumably would be a smartphone, up to 10 inches. So they're really looking. It may be that this is one of those things with the strategy of throw everything against the wall and see what sticks and then concentrate on that.
Yeah, I think the iPad has proven that some people like the form factor of a tablet. I mean, obviously we've proven that the smartphone is a good size and form factor. So I think as far as tablets go, we've reached the point at which the manufacturers are ready and willing to go ahead and give it a try, but we're going to see a variety of sizes and feature sets come out for, you know, another probably year, maybe even 2 years, until people figure out, oh, well, they like this size, that size. And, you know, we're only going to make so many of this one size because we can only sell, 10,000 of them a year, but, it's enough where we can capture part of the market.
Based upon what I've heard from iPad users, I would say that the size is less important than the weight.
Yeah, it's a heavy little piece of equipment.
Yeah, so I think a 7-inch device, if it weighs less than the iPad, if it's less dense, then that might have an advantage. We should probably talk. I'm sorry, you're about to say something.
Well, I wanted, before we move on from the Google Android stuff, I found something very, apparently fairly recent. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. And it came from an article, actually an interview that Gareth Beavis of TechRadar did with Google's Director of Products for Mobile, Hugo Berra. Google is saying that Android isn't ready for the tablet scene as of right now. They're saying that now, I should point out that Google Android operating system, if you're wondering where Froyo comes from, it's frozen yogurt slang. And they name their stuff after, I guess, their releases after, I guess, desserts, would you say?
Yeah, they're all desserts. It's like eclair, donut,
Froyo. It goes, and they're going in alphabetical
cupcake.
Order. So, the next version is cupcake? Oh, yeah. The next version is gingerbread. And the version after that is supposed to be honeycomb, from what I understand. But basically, Mr. Barra said, Android is a great operating system, but really the Android market is not ready for devices larger than a smartphone. The applications are not there yet.
Right.
And Froyo is not designed to be used on a tablet, but there is a probability that gingerbread, the next release, will be, and probably honeycomb, I would imagine, if not, gingerbread. So I think some of the, from what I've read, LG has backed out of releasing an Android tablet because of this. Essentially, look, we can't deliver the optimum user experience. This goes well with the Galaxy Tab, though, because it's closer in size to a smartphone, and the Dell Streak as well.
Right.
It's very, very close to a smartphone size.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that's not going to I don't think it's going to set the manufacturers back in a big way.
But it may be enough of a stumbling block to allow someone else to sweep in.
Yeah. Yeah. And were we going to mention that someone else?
I was going to mention, well,
you had something else you were going to say.
The Samsung Galaxy Tab is one of the ones I think is a strong contender.
Yeah.
The other one I think that could potentially be a strong contender for totally different reasons is the recently announced BlackBerry Playbook.
Yes, I agree with you.
The Playbook is another 7-inch tablet device released by RIM.
That's Research in Motion, a Canadian company.
Yep. And it's closely tied to their BlackBerry platform, although it's running a different operating system than the BlackBerry smartphone operating system.
Yes, it is.
One that we don't know much about.
I know probably more about it than you do for reasons which will become clearer to you in about 25 seconds.
Do you have one?
Yeah, see, this is apparently...
Wait, no, seriously, you have one?
Yeah.
What?
No, I don't have one.
Oh, no. You're freaking me out there,
Paulette. I have a reason, not a tablet.
Okay.
I have an iPad.
I was like, Paulette, how the heck did you get that?
No.
Does this mean the Mounties are after us?
No. Now the Playbook was announced on September 27th of this year.
Yes.
And it will be running on a kernel of software called from a company called QNX.
Yes, QNX.
Yes. And... yeah, and this is an Ottawa-based company that's been around for quite some time, but they were acquired by RIM on April 9th of this year, which, coincidentally, was the day after I bought my iPad. The thing is, for those of you who have never heard of the company, they have been around for quite some time, more than 30 years. Part of that time, they were developing an alternative operating system for the Amiga. And this is back when Gateway owned the Amiga. Now, those of you who are new to the podcast don't know that I'm still a rabid Amiga fan.
Yeah, see, now I'm not excited anymore. He no longer has a Playbook. He just has an Amiga.
Yeah, well, hey. No, unfortunately, the QNX or QNX guys never really could work with Gateway to get the new operating system rolled out, although it was supposed to be really, really promising. At the time, we were all excited, those of us who were still on the Amiga bandwagon. So I had heard of them before, and I was really excited to see that the this new BlackBerry tablet would be running on the QNX kernel. But again, this is a Unix-like operating system, not unlike Android or the iOS.
Well, maybe I should have gone so far as to say not that we wouldn't know so much about the operating system as we don't know much about the UI.
That's true.
That's user interface.
Yeah, because
you're unfamiliar.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. That's because it's not the the BlackBerry operating system. This is an entirely new thing, or a sort of new thing, at least for BlackBerry users.
Right. And so it's let's tell you a little bit more about the tablet itself. So like we said, it's a 7-inch screen. It's got a gigahertz dual-core processor in it.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, so it can dual-core processors for tablets are a fairly new thing. It's got a gigabyte of RAM. It's got a built-in camera. It has Wi-Fi. There's no cellular support, at least in the initial Playbooks. The one that they unveiled was Wi-Fi only. It could tether with a BlackBerry device, though. So, in fact, it seems that the intent of the Playbook is to really tie in with the BlackBerry phones, and that you could sync information between your phone and your Playbook and be able to view the stuff that you would get normally on your phone on a much larger screen and be able to navigate more quickly that way. And it supports both HTML5 and Flash, which sets it apart, of course, from, again, the iPad. So the camera and the HTML5 and the Flash stuff really kind of sets it apart. But there's some problems here, too. One is we don't know when it's coming out, and we don't know how much it'll be.
Yeah. Yep, that's true. Did you mention the I was checking my notes too. Did you mention that it will it has true multitasking capability? Apparently,
I did not mention that.
That is a pretty neat feature too. One of the things that people have complained about for the iOS for most of its existence, now that it's starting to roll out to different people, but it's still, as of this recording, not available on the iPad. Although I should have it sometime in November, from what I understand. But that's a pretty neat feature that it's got, and it's you know, BlackBerry's sphere of influence is the enterprise market, business people.
Right.
So they are going to be extra sensitive to people who are going to be using this for business. Although, you know, BlackBerry has been wading in as Apple tries to make inroads with the enterprise market, BlackBerry is trying to reach out to consumers. So this is going to have more crossover than past efforts, I think,
right,
between
you look
the tablets.
At, you look at devices like the Curve and the Storm and the Pearl.
Those,
they're very clearly aiming at the consumer market. Well, there are a couple of other OSs we should talk about really quickly.
Okay.
Because we've talked about the QNX and we've talked about Android. Mm-hmm. And but there are other devices that are also out there. There are Windows 7 tablet devices.
Yes.
Most of which haven't gone very far. There's one that I wanted to mention called the Toshiba Libretto.
Yeah, I'd heard of it, but I don't know much about it.
It's a dual screen tablet.
Oh.
So it opens up like a book, right?
Sort of like a certain device from Microsoft itself was supposed to.
Yeah, the rumored Courier is what Paulette is talking about, which if you saw the videos for the concept videos for the Courier, they looked really cool. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the Courier got shoved aside.
Right.
It was not meant to be. But the Toshiba Libretto looks a lot like the concept of the Courier. It has dual screens. They're both 7-inch screens. It runs Windows 7. It has Wi-Fi and it has webcam in it. It has an Intel Pentium processor.
Ooh, okay.
Not a Snapdragon or anything like that. The big problem with the Toshiba Libretto, I would say, is the price.
Okay.
It's $1,100.
That's pricey.
At $1,100, that's really, I mean, I think what the iPad really has taught us is that for the tablet form factor, the app model is enough.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily need a device that can run quote unquote full blown programs.
Right.
The apps tend to be smaller programs, smaller applications, right?
Right.
They're not like these really advanced ones that you find on desktop computers or laptops. So the Libretto may have more power than what's necessary. It may not need all that power for what people technically tend to use tablets for.
Mm-hmm.
So it would surprise me if it takes off because that's expensive and it's going to be more complex. And a lot of people have complained that Windows 7 is not the right platform for a touchscreen device.
Right, right.
There seem to be some issues with Windows 7 and these tablets. The other OS I wanted to mention is WebOS.
Ah, yes.
Palm's WebOS. So you may have heard about a device called the HP Slate.
Yes, it was supposed to run the Windows operating system.
Yes, it was supposed to run Windows 7. And, well, the Slate kind of got pulled off the development train.
Yeah.
And now there's another device which some are calling the Slate and some are calling the Palm Pad that will be running the WebOS operating system. HP, of course, purchased Palm back when Palm looked like it was going to go away.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people said, well, the reason why they purchased them was probably so that they could enter the tablet market using a mobile operating system, much like iOS or Android.
Yes, I think it's worth noting that upon its release, the new WebOS, which replaced the older Palm OS, was received with pretty much, from what I saw, critical acclaim. But it was not a commercial success, at least not as quickly as they wanted it.
The problem was that It was unveiled at CES. Everyone went gaga for it at CES.
Yeah.
And it was another 3 months before we ever saw anything else about it.
Mm-hmm.
And in those 3 months, enough of the fervor had died down that they couldn't ride that wave and the Palm phones didn't make the impact they were hoping for.
Yeah.
So this device, the Palm Pad, is supposedly going to launch in early 2011, so early next year. We don't know how much that's going to cost either. So really, I think what's going to boil down to can these devices compete against the iPad is going to boil down to two different things, and it's really basic: features and cost.
Yeah. Yep. And I think that's one of the cost is one of the things that keeps the that's going to keep the netbook market afloat, because netbooks in general have been cheaper than the tablets.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't have to have the capacitive touch screens. And, you know, those have been traditionally very expensive. And they usually don't have as many features even as the tablets do. So.
And Tom Merritt and Sarah Lane pointed out to me the other day, from the recording of this podcast anyway, that really the tablet isn't meant to replace any device. It's a supplemental device.
No, I agree with that.
So you're always going to have a need for some sort of computer where it's easier to input data.
Yeah.
And the tablet is something that you don't may not necessarily need, but you'll find a place where it fits in your lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then you wonder how you got along without it. But it's not replacing something you already have. So
right.
Netbooks aren't going to go away necessarily.
I don't think so.
As are, you know, the other form factors are pretty safe too. The question is if these tablets are compelling enough for people to actually go out and buy them.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like I said, the Samsung Galaxy Tab has at least a chance, a fighting chance of getting some people to adopt it, especially people who are already familiar and fond of the Android operating system. Same with BlackBerry. The others, they're going to have to come out with a really compelling, sleek, and price-efficient model to compete against the iPad. And
right.
you got to keep in mind, Apple usually updates their line of products yearly.
Mm-hmm.
So next spring, we should see the next if the trends follow the way Apple's done things in the past, we should see new iPads early next year.
I would imagine so. Or even announcement late, I would say probably early January, around the time of CES.
Early January, maybe as late as early February. I think February is when they announced the iPad last time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we'll see. I'm kind of curious. I got to admit, the Samsung Galaxy Tab had me interested enough to actually think, well, depending on how expensive this is and whether or not I'd have to have a contract if I bought it, maybe I'd be interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure yet. We'll see. I still haven't convinced myself that I have a place for a tablet in my life, but that doesn't mean that our listeners don't. So I'm curious, listeners, do you have a place for a tablet? Do you already own a tablet device, whether it's the iPad or something else? What's your experience been like? Or if you're thinking about getting one, what sort of things are you looking for within the whole realm of the tablet? Give us a shout out. Let us know. You can let us know either on Twitter or on Facebook. In both of those, our handle is TechStuffHSW. Or you can send us an email. Our address is TechStuff@HowStuffWorks.com. And Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
If you're a Tech Stuff fan, be sure to check us out on Twitter. TechStuffHSW is our handle, and you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TechStuffHSW.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the new TechStuff blog, now on the HowStuffWorks homepage.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota #4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.